David Brooks, in his book, Second Mountain, describes how life is often lived on two mountains. The first mountain is where it's our youthful days when we are trying to define who we are. We are defining and climbing the mountain of a career, a family, and maybe we're looking for meaning in our life, success, and it's most often dominated by a quest for one's self, one's own identity, one's own wealth, one's own status in the world. And then he says sometimes what happens is something happens and we experience a valley experience, the death of a loved one, loss of job, our marriage breaks up, family is falling apart, some traumas. And in that valley, we rethink our life. And then we start to climb a second mountain that is not focused on ourselves. It's not focused on our successes, our wealth, or power. It ends up being a mountain lived for others. And it's not so much about reaching the top as it's being on the mountain. It's less about the destination and more about the journey. And in this mountain, he says, we start to live life for others and not for ourselves. It's quite a great book. And it's awfully self-revealing of David Brooks. He himself went through a valley and divorce, and he speaks from personal experience, of course, in this. A reason why I bring this up, because I've always tried to maintain, and you've often heard me preach about this, is that we know that there's this valley experience happens, and it's where God can break in. Do you remember years ago I had that inflection point, and we talked about that inflection point, and we tried to jump the S-curve, as the business words were for it. But this idea that we can move on to another mountain, as he would call it. This experience, this reaching the top and then having a valley experience, is often set off by a trauma of some sort. He would call it a valley experience. I would call it trauma. It's an experience that the bottom falls out of what we thought of ourselves or of the world. And I've always believed that there are other ways to get there. Pilgrimages, mission trips, retreats, and just daily prayer. But I think those valley experiences still happen to us. It's just that we're more prepared. In this gospel we hear today, which is one of the classic gospel passages of our modern discipleship, is the walk to Emmaus. And these two disciples, well, they have this valley experience. Their Messiah, their Lord, the one that they had devoted to follow, was killed. And they had abandoned him. They'd run away from him while he was in his weakest moment, being hung upon a cross. Only a handful, and most of them were women. Most of the men abandoned. And so these two men are walking away, again, walking away from Jerusalem, walking to Emmaus, and they're having this valley experience. But what happens here is extraordinary, and it's a real second mountain moment. Jesus appears to them. He doesn't scold them. He doesn't chastise them for abandoning them. He doesn't do any of those. He doesn't suddenly appear, hey, it's me. What he does is the most gentle thing. He walks with them. He listens to their story. And then he slowly reveals the meaning of the second mountain, the meaning of now turning back oneself to the Lord one more time. Often this second experience is far more profound than the first. For them, this first experience was that when they met Jesus, heard him speak, and were somehow empowered by him. They said, oh, this is it. But this second experience is the transformational. It completely transforms them. And they don't just go back to Jerusalem. they run back to Jerusalem. I think that we're today, all of us are in somewhat of a collective valley. In this shelter in place in this coronavirus. And it's not just only what has already happened, which has certainly been devastating. Not only to so many with regard health around the world, but also economically. But also now starts this second phase, and so much remains unknown, undefined. We're in completely uncharted waters. We are in a collective valley. And it's not so much what happens to us that's going to define us. It's going to be how we respond to what happens to us that will define us from here. And not just as a nation. Each one of us individually will have to respond to this crisis. And I'm hoping that we can respond as people of faith. That we can really take this moment and reflect, where are we at? Where are we at the valley? Are we at the mountain, the top of one mountain? Are we on the second mountain? See, I have a fear that many of us have been on this first mountain, and this valley experience is a real shake-up for us. It's been coming for years, and now it's coming. We almost welcome this shattering of this false, this illusion of the promise of what we're on. This thing that was the first mountain, all about ourselves, all about our power, our individualism, our sort of status in this world. And now we enter into this moment of reflection and say, do I want to go back onto that mountain, or do I want to climb a second mountain? I'm inviting you to climb the second mountain. I'm inviting you to not attempt to go back to that old one at all. To allow this moment, this incredible moment, for all of us to transform us into something far better. To redefine ourselves as a society, as a community. To transform ourselves into something far better. But what that will require of us is to be thoughtful and prayerful, and to be deliberate about climbing the second mountain. Because otherwise we'll default back to the first one. We'll start climbing it up on the backside, and it's not going to be as easy. Now, some of us, some of you, are already on the second mountain. And you have been for years. You've been serving others. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are pastor ministers already. Some of you are in a multitude of other nonprofits or even helping professions. Like I think of, for example, the healthcare workers who heretofore had never really been seen as sort of a important helping profession. But they've dedicated their years to helping others. Now they are truly on the front line. And so many others. Like we just think of like the grocery clerks who were really nobodies in people's mind up until now. Now we rely on them to fill up our shelves of our stores without which we could not survive. I think understanding that it's not what we do per se, but it's for what we do it or for whom we do it that defines our second mountain. So for those who are on the second mountain, your opportunity is to become guides to us who have not yet got on the second mountain. To guide us and to help us to navigate this mountain and journey together with us. But for all of us, it's an opportunity to do as these disciples to Emmaus did. Is to have their eyes opened and to see this moment as a moment of grace. And to allow our hearts to burn on fire and to start to live life for others, not for ourselves. To transform our lives into something far more beautiful than it is. So I invite us all to think and to pray about walking and heading on to the second mountain. And remember, it's not a destination. It's the journey that matters. And it's together that matters. Whether we are helping others climb the mountain, or whether we ourselves are on this for the first time and being helped, let us climb together the second mountain of life.